go. All right, Brain Basement with Angie and Anna Lee.
Yes, hello.
Thank you. What should we talk about?
We literally didn't talk about it till right now, huh?
Yeah. What did you hear when you listened to that webinar about, was that interesting or not? Was that for another discussion?
I did hear some good stuff. Yep. But, I have this other thing on my mind too.
Okay. So what's your
maybe
other
thing? I'll tell you this idea and you pick.
Yeah.
So I've been thinking a lot about the idea of belonging, mm-hmm. and just on a very basic, like conceptual level, like not necessarily, I have no framework for this. It's just belonging. And I'm different friends and family members and different threads I'm on. Where do you think belonging comes from? And another way to say that would be, what do you think has to be in place before someone feels a sense of belonging?
Oh.
The reason why this has been on my mind, and then I'm curious to hear your thoughts, is just, I think that, well, basically it is one of our basic needs, and we know that from Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right?
Yeah.
It's like food, water, air, shelter, and belonging. Is that right? Did I get it right?
I think so.
Which is kind of cool because all the other ones are more physical needs, but belonging is in there. And I wouldn't say that. I mean, I think we all like physical touch, but for me, belonging means more like an internal thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm interested in this idea because of how it plays into people being able to heal from certain mental or emotional struggles. It kind of goes back to what we were saying last episode, that there's amazing things that happen when we can tell our story to a trusted friend or professional help. And I believe, as I've been thinking about this, that belonging is one of the first things that needs to be in place in order to be able to walk down that path of healing. Mm. And the reason why is because I think and I'm talking from personal experience, when you feel isolated in your struggle, that feeling of isolation and loneliness kind of compounds the problem and has the potential to kind of send you into a downward spiral. But if you feel support and safety and belonging around that struggle, then all of a sudden that struggle feels a little bit more normal or validated. And then I think you can start to take those steps. At least that was the case for me, that as long as I was quiet about it, specifically the postpartum depression, it wasn't, there was nothing happening except for it was kind of getting worse because I wasn't well enough to treat myself. Mm-hmm. And so taking that first step of talking to someone was key. So that's kind of the background of why I've been thinking about this. But I think like belonging is such an interesting concept.
That's so interesting. Like, would you be able to heal without a group, or if you never spoke about it, if you kept your struggle to yourself, is it possible to heal? And not just with your struggle, with any struggle, right? With like past abuse or healing trauma, would you be able to struggle be able to heal if you never mentioned your struggle out loud?
Yeah. Like, what do you think? Is it possible? Do you have to, But here's an interesting point, that what if you just felt a sense of belonging within yourself, that you at least belonged to yourself, meaning you were willing to see yourself in a very like real and raw and authentic state without judging yourself. And maybe that would include like me and a journal, because mm-hmm. I would have to somehow like, you know, get my thoughts out in order to reflect them back to myself. But
or what if I had my trauma and I never spoke about it, but like three friends told me that they had experienced similar trauma, and I never brought up my own, but I felt part of the group. I felt not isolated just by knowing that their story was out there, with like that much belonging, that I was like part of this group that had had that experience. I guess in that case, I'm still finding it outside of myself. But how would you, yeah, that's a really fascinating concept. How much is it possible to heal? And what kind of an individual would you be if you were able to totally embrace yourself and heal without any outside influence or like acceptance from other people?
Yeah, I think it seems pretty challenging to do, especially in the context of, like you said, trauma, because with those experiences, I think there's a lot of, well, obviously there's a ton of pain. And I think in order to be able to, yeah, heal yourself without speaking that to anyone, you would have to have a ton of self-awareness. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think when the times in my life when I've been maybe hurting the most, I might not be as self-aware as other seasons of my life. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Definitely.
Because I think with that pain comes a lot of confusion and overwhelm, like, why is this happening to me? Or I don't know what to do. And so that seems challenging for me. I don't know if I would have the self-awareness in that state of mind to help myself. Like, it would have to take a third party,
right,
or a second party. Me and my imaginary friend.
Me, my brain, and then definitely someone else needs to get involved. That is a really interesting concept, because I'm thinking about it in terms of my life, and like speaking, saying something does bring it. It's like our concept with basement brain, right? It's like bringing it to the light instead of keeping those thoughts in the dark basement where you're trying to ignore and pretend they don't exist. Bringing it out does sort of heal it. Like, I can have a terrible morning and screaming fight with one of my teenagers and doors slamming, and I feel like I've been my worst self and they've been their worst self and all of the things. And then if I show up, you know, wherever I have to be to get my kids to their art class or something, and I see a friend and I say, oh my gosh, I just had the worst morning. You know, we were all falling apart by 9:15 a.m. this morning. It already feels better just to say that and to speak that out loud without going into all the details, and I don't have to relive all of the trauma and say all the hurtful things that were said, but it already just feels a little bit better to admit, like, hey, I'm struggling. My morning was not perfect. And I think, so I don't even know. I'm such a talker like that. I don't know how it would be to kind of try to experience something without talking about it. But I know those things happen in my life, those things that I put in the basement and ignore, the basement of my brain. Yeah. What do you think qualifies as belonging?
Yeah, this is a good question. I asked a friend this, and I love what he said. He made this distinction right off the bat. He said, for him, belonging, it's important to make the distinction between belonging and fitting in. That fitting in comes from a place of different motives than belonging. Mm-hmm. And that I personally think that that line can be crossed very easily, at least in my own life. And I kind of have to check where I am. Because it is a basic need of humans, I think we yearn for that belonging and we reach out for it in different ways. And some of those ways we kind of go in the direction of wanting to fit in. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And fitting in looks different than belonging. I think fitting in kind of the idea around fitting in is more of acting in a way or saying certain things that would appease other people. So mm-hmm. it more comes from a place of people pleasing and not being true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Where belonging comes from a place of being true to yourself, knowing who you are, and showing up as that authentic person. And then people will come into your life that
accept you wholly for who you are without you altering or changing yourself to fit in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which I love that distinction that he made. It just made it a little bit more clear to me, because I think belonging doesn't have to get a bad rap. It doesn't mean people pleasing or fitting in. It's, we really want to be seen. Every human being, of course, wants to be seen for who they really are. What do you think?
I think you're right. Definitely your friend was right in terms of fitting in is very different than belonging. So are you thinking about this in terms of like moving for our lives as trailing spouses, flailing spouses, and moving around with the world? And like, when we show up somewhere, how do we find our belonging, or where do we belong, or how do we fit in?
I think we could totally explore how belonging looks in that situation. My brain hadn't gone there.
Are you thinking about belonging right now today? Like, where's your head out with belonging? How do you belong? What do you belong to right now? What groups are you a member of?
Yeah. Well, another person I talked to about this really stressed this idea of belonging to ourselves, kind of what I just mentioned. And that is most important. And so I guess my mind's been more on that the last 24 hours because of the people I've been talking to about this. And some of the points that came up were that it involves self-acceptance, self-love, and compassion, and no judgment. And I wanted to explore that a little bit more because the person that I was talking to said that there are plenty of reasons why it's really hard to not be able to accept ourselves as we really are. But if we can find that space, then we can really belong to ourselves. So that was kind of one of the first aspects that we touched on. And then we started talking about, okay, so what happens when you belong to yourself? Like, how do you show up in bigger circles in your life? Maybe in your family within the community that you live or your kid's school or...
Having no judgment for myself would be really hard. I'm definitely not there. I definitely judge myself. I think I do have a lot of self-compassion. I don't know. I think I do seek a lot of outside belonging. Like I seek out friendships and connections a lot. And then like my husband always comments that I'm still friends with my high school friends, a bunch of my high school friends that we still hang out. And we've all kind of taken very different paths in life. And it probably doesn't make sense that we're friends right now, but I keep those friendships for sure, just because I feel like they definitely know my true self, like my id. They know like the worst, you know, parts of me through my teenager years and all of that. And so I feel comfortable with them. And as we move too, I seek out friendships very intentionally and like go out when I don't feel like it, and I meet people and I invite people over, even though it's a pain and my house isn't ready, just because I'm definitely seeking some belonging outside of myself. So belonging to myself, I would have to think a lot more about that, how that would be.
Yeah. And I don't know if there's like ever a finish line that you cross and it's like, I belong to myself. I don't know what that looks like, because I certainly haven't, you know, crossed that either. But
Also comparison comes up too. And I think that's another one that I can't really erase. I think I'm at a really good place. I really like being in my 40s. Like I love it much more than any other age. And I think part of that is that I can see, I can have comparison, but without measuring myself, you know, like, oh, that's different, or that's gorgeous and that's amazing and that's fantastic. And it doesn't mean like I have to try to meet that standard. So that feels really good. But also that comparison is still just there. I'm always noticing those differences. And that probably ties into judgment in some way. And just having full compassion for myself. I don't know. It's so much easier to have for other people.
I know. It's so true.
If you could see Annalie's face right now, for the three people listening to this 5 years from now, Annalie's like in a silent squeal of like mind blowing, wow, and yikes, what would that look like?
This is the part of the podcast where I don't know what to say next. It is a little mind blowing. I'd like to.
We just make faces. We should say that this is our pajama edition, because we couldn't make this happen earlier and now we're late at night talking. I do think there's so much power in belonging, because I see that when, it's definitely for me, when I have that connection, that it is a road to healing. Once I voice my struggle and my pain, it's like you said, it's almost that self-awareness there. If I can ignore it, I'm still judging it. I'm still pretending it's not there. That causes like more friction within me to avoid the struggle. And there's no belonging and there's no healing when I'm doing that.
Yeah. It reminds me of that phrase that we hear, what we resist persists. Mm-hmm. And just like you were saying, how it shows up for me is, yes, the more I resist taking that step, it's just the struggle in that tension grows. And if I can allow a few walls to come down, or just be brave enough to confide in whoever that trusted source is, then it is a brave step. And I think, like, even what you said, that you texted a friend today and said you were having a hard day, and that was a certain relief for for you, mm-hmm. to be able to acknowledge your emotion in that moment. And it didn't mean that you were, you know, going to stop your day, but it was just like, this is what I'm carrying with me today. And there's something freeing about that, I think. Mm-hmm. And then your friend is sharing in it, whoever that person is.
And that's part of friendship and belonging too. I think I can't think of what it, I can't imagine what it would be like to have a friend who never shared their struggle. I think I maybe have encountered people like that who just seem, you know, kind of robotic. And then I'm kind of talking about my struggles, or, you know, I see them from time to time, maybe over years, or, and never get any indication that they have a chink in their armor, you know. And I think that is isolating, that it's not someone I really feel drawn to form a deep friendship with.
Yeah, it's true. It's like both people have to be vulnerable in some sense, and friendship mm-hmm. can grow from that place. I totally agree.
Yeah.
It just gives you more courage too, like especially just in the context of healing, that when you take that first step to belong, share that struggle with someone else and belong to someone else, or not to someone else, but you know what I mean? Like there's a sense of belonging there that mm-hmm. you're sharing your story with someone. I think it helps you to have that courage to take the next step, whatever that is. And so it's a forward, you have forward momentum,
mm-hmm.
I think, when you're moving out of isolation and forward.
And it's probably never like a goal point. Like you said, there's never that finish line. It's probably just this constantly evolving, because especially as kids, we're like, where do I belong? Where do I fit in? You know, and even with your family too, it's very hard to like, are you trying to fit in with your family? If you're like the oddball or the, you know, the weirdo, I think it's just harder to be that goofball when you're younger. And then you're older and you're like, yeah, I'm just a weirdo. And then you find your weirdo people and, you know, it works out. I think maybe it's just a constantly evolving thing. Belonging is part of what we're doing in our life. We could look at that, like, where do we belong right now? And then how do we establish where we belong in the new, after a move, in the new place? And it changes, because I think, like, I belong in the group of moms, right? Or like moms with young kids, and now I'm not. Now I'm moms with old kids. Soon I will belong to that group that felt so distant and removed of people who have kids who've all moved out.
That's, yeah, weird. It's called empty nesters. You're ready to be that. You have a few more years.
I still have time, but I just think of those people, like I meet them and I'm like, well, you're in some kind of an old group, so I can't tell you that much. I do not belong in that group.
You know what, though? I was telling my sister today that I feel like people in their 60s,
mm-hmm.
it's like the blessed decade of people's lives or something. Everyone I meet in their 60s just feel, they're just so like happy and content with their lives. It's like the refiner, they've gone through the refiner's fire, you know. If they had kids, then they saw every struggle and, you know, had all the doors slammed in their faces. And then they're just in their 60s and they're just enjoying life. And have you ever felt that from someone?
Oh, yeah. Like this, actually, over the weekend, yesterday, we had a Zoom wedding. It was our first. So I checked that off my coronavirus quarantine bucket list, which was awesome. This beautiful, beautiful family wedding. And so as we're all on our Zoom squares, you know, reconnecting with family and little in our little boxes, the one set of grandparents on Bill's side, they have four sons who I love and have known for, you know, over 20 years. So I watched the boys grow up, and now they all have, they have children, and some of their partners are pregnant right now. So it was just adorable to see their family. And then of course now I'm like connecting and relating to like, look, that will be us in the future. We'll be the grandparent ones. And it does, it's so fun. You know, they are just like happy and totally enjoying their life, and all of the, you know, work that it took to get to that point where everyone's happy and healthy and raised and, you know, raising their own family. And I'm sure there are still struggles all the time, but to just, they are really truly enjoying where they are in life and without kind of that total chaos that we sort of experience now with kids at home.
Yeah, exactly. I can't even imagine that state. And I just appreciate people, seeing other people in different stages of life. And, you know, it'll be fine. You know, I think of my kids leaving the house, and that makes me feel super sad. Like, I will miss them so much. But then to see these people, just, it's a different stage, and they make the best of it. And it's like they welcome it, or at least, you know, the people I've met. But maybe they've reached the pinnacle of belonging. Maybe that's when it happens.
They belong everywhere. Like, you can just be that kooky grandma, and you're, no, everybody just has to put up with you because you're grandma.
I cannot wait.
Say all the things, all the offensive things. The other day, my son's grandma said, like, that's the worst haircut I've ever seen in my life. To my youngest son. And we all just kind of looked at each other like, well, Nana just said that, I guess.
Right? And then it's just fine. Like, everyone rolls with it.
Yes,
exactly. Why would that not be accepted in our 30s and 40s? If I were to say that, I'd get way more backlash.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my kids are upset if I, say something half as offensive, and then they just remind me about it for the next 3 years.
Exactly.
Yes, that's interesting, belonging. And belonging is part of healing. It's probably not, I wonder if, I mean, to me, it feels like in my training and like books that I read and going to school for counseling that we talked about group therapy, of course, and I love group therapy, and I love seeing the dynamics of group therapy and how other people's story can make you look at your own story. But I don't know if belonging was necessarily a component that we were looking at as part of your healing. Like, where are you physically? How are you doing, you know, day to day? But nobody was looking at belonging.
Yeah, I think it's such a basic idea that I think it's easy to overlook, because, but what's really happening in that group setting is your struggle is being normalized and validated, and you feel like you belong to something bigger than yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's what belonging is. I don't know if, maybe it's so basic it doesn't need to be said out loud, but it just, there's something really helpful there, I think. So.
Definitely.
If it wasn't 9 p.m., maybe my brain would be coming up with the next idea of belonging.
No, I think it's really deep. Now I'm thinking about it because my son just went to college. So it's like, where will he belong, and where do you find acceptance? And also what's different about university now is like Facebook groups, and they have all the Snapchat groups and stuff, but you can kind of see what's going on in the Facebook groups. So all the parents are kind of connected, or some of the students are in it as well. And you can see these messages that like the 18-year-olds are posting, like, hey, I haven't really made a lot of friends yet, or, you know, I'm feeling really lonely and I feel kind of anxious. How is everyone doing? And I don't know if it's related to coronavirus or not, but, you know, maybe people aren't, they're probably not hanging out the way they would, like, hey, come over, let's do this, or come over to a party later. There's certainly less parties happening than normally there would be on a college campus and all of that this year. So it is kind of making me think about belonging there. How do you find your tribe and your group? And when you show up somewhere new, where do you fit in? And also how vulnerable people can be in the online space. I think of myself as a teenager, I would never have written this message because I don't want people to see it and think I was lonely and didn't have any friends. But how safe it is that people, like multiple people, feel comfortable putting that out there, like, hey, looking for a friend.
Yeah, that's true. And this is interesting because I was thinking about this too, the element of social media and how that plays into this idea of belonging. Because I've often thought I have a little bit of a love-hate relationship with social media, and I lean more towards the hate side most of the time. But it has a lot of potential for good because, yeah, it connects us with each other, right? In a way that nothing ever did before the internet and before social media. I guess there was a big gap between the internet and social media. But do you feel like social media is more of a vehicle for connection or isolation? Because I kind of have seen it go both ways.
Yeah, I would think it's both ways.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts about that, though?
I mean, I think it, like, it's fascinating because you can just be sitting alone in your room every day, right? If I think about my childhood, I could have just come home and sat in my room every day, and I could have had this whole world of people who I was connected to that were really interested in exactly what I was interested in. You know, like I could find, if it's Dungeons and Dragons is my thing, then that I'm absolutely passionate about. And if I talk about it at school, no one's interested. I can find that group and have like just as, you know, equally interested and like engaged friendships over that. So I think it really can be, and even maybe more freeing for people who are more inclined to not talk in a large group and who are more introverted and are comfortable in their own home. For them, it opens up that world of opportunity to be in their space of comfort and establish that like connection and part of a group. But also I've seen it, you know, work the opposite way, where you're just looking at, and it does it for me too. Some days I have days where I'm just like scrolling Facebook, I'm lost, or Pinterest or Instagram or something. And I look up and think like, what time is it? And how many minutes or hours have gone by? And why am I spending my time doing this? And it does, it's like a sucking action is happening from me. Like it's sucking life out of me and motivation by looking at other people's fancy dinners and their lovely, you know, photography setups and all of that.
Yeah, I agree with both sides. And I think I almost have to check my energy before I, you know, go out on social media, which I don't know the last time I checked my energy before I did that. I'm just saying.
I just keep reminding myself that that's what I should do.
Exactly. I remind myself after I get off that it would be helpful to do it before. Just, yeah, like you said, sometimes I go out and I'm scrolling and it's more of that. I experience more of comparison. Like I'm comparing myself to the things that I'm seeing or, but other times I go on and it's so uplifting and so happy to see what people are up to and connect in different ways that, yeah, our parents weren't able to do, or, you know,
yeah,
at a different time. And I think especially as expats, like that is a very valuable thing to have in our lives, that as we're living over in Asia, we can connect with people real time in the States. And I can't imagine being in the Foreign Service 40 years ago.
I know. Can you imagine like taking photos and then having them printed and then putting them in the mail with a stamp and waiting for them to be delivered?
Yeah. And hearing about it 2 months later, we got your photos.
That's right. Yeah. Totally different world. So yeah, I think for me, I definitely use it on both sides, but I do, for me, belonging is a huge thing. I really don't think I could exist in isolation, and I couldn't heal myself. I do not know. I have a really big, and my other thing is too, even just like commitment. If I would like to start a workout program, which is just like an idea in my brain that's kind of still in the basement and has been there for years. But I could do it if I had someone else who said, like, yes, well, let's meet every day on Zoom. And I would do it if I had a friend there. But if it's up to me, I just don't really get around to doing it.
Yeah, I think everyone can resonate with that. I certainly can. Yeah, even, you know, getting together for these podcasts, it's a little highlight to be able to.
Yes, look at us. Like, we made that commitment, right? If it was just me, I would have been like, today is a wash. Forget it. I'll have to record tomorrow. But we said we would do it every Monday. And then we did it. Annalie, we're totally making it happen.
Yeah.
That was good. We can wrap up for today. We need some kind of outro jingle that's like do 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 brain basement.
Let's just use that. Just use that, okay?
That's, yes, I'm pretty close to a professional singer, so it'll be good.
Brain basement.